Argument is Reed versus Great Lakes.
Good morning. May it please the court. I'm here today representing Melvin Reed, asking this court to find that an employee cannot be forced to attend a religious service at work over his objections. It really is that simple of a case, whether it's analyzed under the religious accommodation framework of Title VII or the direct evidence of disparate treatment model under Title VII. We believe in any event, however the district court analyzed the proof, that summary judgment was appropriate for Mr. Reed and was not appropriate for the defense, Great Lakes. We rely principally...
You say your client should have gotten summary judgment, did I hear you correctly?
Yes, Judge Posner. There was no genuine dispute of material fact here. There were cross motions for summary judgment, and given the evidence in this case, we believe that summary judgment should have been granted to Mr. Reed. Instead, his motion for summary judgment was denied, and summary judgment was granted to Great Lakes, as, in addition, sanctions were imposed on both Mr. Reed and myself. So I'm here today to ask not only that the court reverse the summary judgment findings, but also overturn the sanction findings as well.
You arguing you're entitled to summary judgment, it seems to me the accommodation argument is kind of frivolous, actually, because how can you have an accommodation, how can you claim an accommodation when you refuse to identify your religious belief for which accommodation is... I mean, what if he's a Gideon?
Well, Your Honor, under the case of Venters v. City of Delphi...
Pardon?
Under Venters v. City of Delphi, we don't believe that Mr. Reed is required to disclose his religion precisely because...
What if it's identical to that of the group that he... I mean, his complaint is that he... that he was somehow coerced to attend a meeting at which the Gideons prayed. If he were himself a Gideon, which is open on this record, how could he complain that they that the company was failing to accommodate his religious belief?
Because in this case, Your Honor, the religious practices at issue are those sponsored by the employer, not those requested by the employee to be taken into account in the workplace. And as in the case of Venters, where the plaintiff was compelled to attend devotional services in the workplace, the court found in that case that it was appropriate to accommodate her request that she not be required to attend those. And Mr. Reed here left the ceremony in the middle, and as we point out...
But in the Venters case, was this person of the same religion as the services that were undertaken by the employer?
Your Honor, I don't believe the case mentions what particular religion the plaintiff was.
Well, I think it's usually assumed in these cases that the person has some other religion. Otherwise, why would he object?
Well, Your Honor, he very clearly made an objection on spiritual grounds to attending this religious service. All that Great Lakes would have had to do to accommodate his request was to not discipline him for walking out of the meeting. That was all he would have had to do. Instead...
Well, it seems that's why... Your argument that you're entitled to summary judgment and there are no material issues of fact seems so odd to me, because one interpretation of what they did, especially in light of his history, is that he was just a problem employee, just insubordinate and a problem. So they got rid of him without... There's nothing to suggest that anybody in the Great Lakes Company has the slightest interest in the religion of the Gideons. I mean, this is the way they get free Bibles. No hint of anything having to do with religious motivation or interest on the part of the company.
Well, in fact, there is, Your Honor.
A bunch of people come along and say, you know, free Bibles. They say, great. And all they require of Reed is that, you know, he's to be polite to these people because they're giving the hotel a free good. So what does that have to do with religious persecution? I don't...
Well, Your Honor, because Mr. Reed...
Commercial persecution, maybe, but...
Well, Mr. Reed felt uncomfortable based on spiritual grounds, as he indicated, immediately after the ceremony when he next ran into his...
Well, he felt so uncomfortable that he struck one of the Gideon Bible distributors, and they fired him.
Then there would be... We wouldn't be here, Your Honor.
Right, but we don't know what the motive, do we, if the Great Lakes Company is getting rid of...
Yes, we do, Your Honor, because there's no dispute on the record from Great Lakes that the discussion Mr. Reed had following the meeting was whether or not he could be compelled to attend that religious meeting or religious meetings in the future. That was the subject of the discussion. There's no dispute on that on the part of Great Lakes. And immediately following that discussion, Mr. Reed was terminated and sent home. So regardless of any minor dispute over the words used in the conversation, there is no dispute by Great Lakes that the subject of the conversation between Mr. Keat and Mr. Reed was attendance at the Gideon religious ceremony that day and in the future. And further, Your Honor, the defense relies on EEOC versus Townley Engineering to point out that it would not be appropriate to give a blanket exception to employees to avoid attending religious events, but the important difference in that Townley case is that the employer was asserting a First Amendment right of its own freedom of religion, and given that assertion by the defense, the court was trying to narrowly tailor the injunction to fit both the facts and the employer's First Amendment concerns. Here, there are none. The Great Lakes Company admits that it is a secular company. It has no interest in promoting religion in the workplace. So there's no question of a First Amendment claim, and there should be no balancing of the employer's needs here concerning the specific religious message of the Gideon ceremony.
Let me ask you about the sanctions issue. Is there anything improper about a judge imposing sanctions on the basis of a history of litigiousness?
Yes, Your Honor, particularly when there's been no showing, no evidence of any kind that any of that prior litigation was frivolous in any respect, and there's been no showing here.
What explains all these lawsuits he brings?
Well, Your Honor, my client is a black man in the city of Milwaukee, and I'm sure you could take judicial notice of recent newspaper articles indicating that we're one of the most racially segregated cities in the country. And it's a fact of life,
but
if you're black in Milwaukee, that you have a tough time
no
getting a job.
Claim here.
That's correct. And all of Mr. Reed's prior litigation was racial discrimination related. This is his only religious discrimination claim. He has never brought one before, does not have any other claims on a religious basis pending anywhere.
In a, when you make an allegation that you have not been accommodated, one of the issues that arises is just the employee and the employer's obligation under the Act to engage in a meaningful dialogue to find out if there is an accommodation. Would you characterize your client's conduct during that confrontation with his employer as exhibiting a willingness to engage in a
He didn't have the opportunity, Your Honor. As soon as he indicated to his supervisor that he had a problem attending the Gideon religious ceremony, he was fired. There was no attempt on the part of the employer to engage in finding out why, to find out what religious basis he had, nothing.
Yeah, except your client also did indicate to the employer that he wasn't going to talk about it, period.
No.
He said, you're not going to tell me about my... about matter, you're not going to order me to do things in matters of spirituality. And then he went on and he said, you know, for all you know, I'm a Gideon. I'm not going to talk about it. No, that's it.
Well, Your Honor,
is kind of a run up against a stone wall.
Actually, that exchange that you're referring at the last about his refusal to identify his religion occurred only in his deposition many months following his termination. He didn't even have a chance to talk about that with his employer.
Well,
I would like to reserve my remaining time for
that conversation never took place.
It did not take place. That was part of Mr. Reed's deposition that made part of the record.
Well, I don't understand. The deposition is not authoritative? I don't understand.
What I'm saying, Your Honor, is that Mr. Reed never had a chance to tell Mr. Keat, his employer, that, you know, I'm not going to tell you what religion I am. I'm not going to tell you if I'm a Gideon. I'm not going to tell you. He never had a chance to do that. He just said, you can't make me go to religious meetings at work, and they fired him. There was no accommodation by the employer, no attempt to engage in accommodation discussion.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Ms. Hines. Mr. Quick?
Good morning, Your Honors. Mitchell Quick for the defendant, Great Lakes Companies. Great Lakes Companies believes that what we have here is a frivolous appeal of a frivolous case. It shouldn't be here. And I believe Your Honor's questions have pointed out the highlights of this case that we've been dealing with now for a couple of years, which present these problems.
But the sanctions are somewhat unusual. That is it fair to say the sanctions are based on the fact, maybe this is just leaving things out, but are the sanctions based on the fact that Reed has brought a lot of cases in the same court that have ended up in front of Judge Randa?
I think the sanctions stem from, in part, Judge Randa's witnessing of the destruction that this appellant has caused at district court level with the numbers of employers he has sued, where they have all been dismissed except for one. I think that plays a part. I think it's a small part.
But according to Ms. Hines, none of those suits were declared to be frivolous.
Well,
that makes the case unusual, the fact that it is a little weird to bring so many suits, but...
I would agree there was
none of them are frivolous. Well, go ahead.
I would agree that there were no findings of frivolousness in the earlier cases. However, many of the cases were dismissed for things such as lack of prosecution, failure to pay filing fees, court costs, where the cases would be started, everybody would have to do work, spend time, money, and then he would attempt to walk away, or just walk away. And so there was no finding of frivolousness. There was a sanction issue.
Well, he didn't do that here.
Yeah, he certainly didn't. But I think the pattern shows a modus operandi of trying to, in essence, extort employers. He's held numerous jobs. He holds them for a month or a couple months. He triggers provocation. He gets fired. He files a discrimination.
It's never been decided in any court, though, has it? Is that this pattern exists? It sounds to me like we're trying this guy for something other than this lawsuit right now.
Well, you're right. There's been no other finding of frivolousness. However, I don't believe under the cases in this circuit, under Mack and under Verdone, there is a requirement that the sanction that was issued in this case be only given after an earlier finding of frivolousness has occurred.
Well, I don't think we've ever imposed MAC orders without first warning the person and, you know, issuing an order to show cause. And invariably, that is frivolous litigation or a determination that it's harassment, you know, it's abusive process. Now, these previous cases, though, you say were dismissed, but if he was extorting money from employers, wouldn't they be settled rather than dismissed?
Well, if
you... dismissed because they had been settled? Because you gave the impression they were abandoned by him.
The court dropped a footnote where he recited the summary of all those cases, and in many of those cases, which are unpublished, he indicates... dismissed for lack of prosecution, dismissed for failure to pay fees, dismissed for a variety of other reasons where they did not go through to a resolution.
No, but there was no settlement either. And you suggest that he's engaged in kind of extortion. He works for someone for a month and then sues. You could see that as a way of making money, but only if you get settlements. If you bring the suit and abandon it,
right,
you don't gain anything.
Well, I think he keeps trying, and that's what we've found out.
You mean he's an unsuccessful extortionist?
he is.
Can we go back to the case for a minute?
Sure.
If you could use a couple of your minutes at least talking about the case you're here to argue. Is there not a dispute about what this fellow said to his supervisor about not wanting that you about not wanting to discuss his religion. That he, for all I know, he might be a Gideon. Where is that in the record?
Well, in the record, it's interesting, Your Honor. He actually, in the deposition, admitted he could have been a Gideon, and he still couldn't have been forced to go to that meeting.
Did he say that to the supervisor?
He didn't say that to the supervisor. He said it, though, in his deposition.
So why, in the exchange with the supervisor, wasn't the supervisor on notice when he said, you're not going to order me to do things with respect to my spirituality? Why wasn't the supervisor then on notice that this guy had a religious problem with being ordered to go to meetings like that, and there was an obligation on your client's part to do something about it?
Because all he said was his spirituality. It's a description of something he may or may not have. If he would have said something like, you can't make me do that because of my age or because of my injury, and never tells us what his age or injury is, it's the same effect. We don't know what his spirituality is, if anything, because he hasn't told us that. And he's refused to tell us that.
He has to have a specific religion to suffer spirituality?
He has to tell us what it is, whatever it is, whatever creed or belief he holds. He has to identify that for us at some point.
How much more does he have to tell you? He says he has spiritual problems going to a meeting with Gideons.
Right. He has to say, my religion or my belief of whatever conflicts with your
requirement. What if he's unique? He just has a feeling he doesn't like Gideons. He doesn't particularly like that kind of religion, but he has a deep religious conviction of his own that he calls spiritualism. Is that sufficient?
I don't think it is sufficient, Your Honor.
He has to belong to some organized religion in order to exercise his right to accommodation for spiritual.
No, he has to tell us what his spirituality is. Spirituality is simply a label that he may or may not have something, but we don't know what it is.
I've got religious problems going to meetings with Gideons. Is that enough?
That's not enough.
Why not?
Because he hasn't told us what his religious belief is.
Well, how much of a theological background do you need to be a first-line supervisor? I mean, he told this guy, look, I got a problem, a religious problem, going to meetings like that.
Right. All he said was, you're not going to tell me to do things when it comes to my spirituality.
I think what you're saying is that he didn't indicate the basis of his objection, therefore very hard to know for the company to know what to do. I mean, is he going to object because the Gideon's Bible is in the hotel room next?
Exactly, and he didn't object before the meeting. He knew he was meeting with the Gideons. His job was to oversee the distribution of those Bibles. He had no problem with the Gideons. His problem allegedly came after they met, during the meeting. I mean, in essence, we look at it as, if you're going to state a religious discrimination claim, you have to identify your religion. The Seshadari case says that. If you're going to ask for...
What if he said he was an atheist?
That'd be fine.
That's his...
Exactly. And in the cases that they cite, the Townley case, for example, that case doesn't help them because in that case it was an atheist saying, my belief, my creed is one of atheism. I object to those devotional services being held at the employer.
But if he said an agnostic, that wouldn't work because that would admit the possibility that the Gideons were correct.
At least agnostic
the
would
nice
be putting...
The theological discussion we're having here.
Yes.
How many angels can dance in the head of a pin is the next one.
Agnostics, at least that would give us more of an indication what his conflict with this requirement is. He hasn't given us anything. He has never identified what this spirituality is. We don't have to take his word for it that he's got one. He's got to tell us what it is in some manner.
Was he ever invited to do that?
During the course of that discussion at the end, when he said, not when it comes to my spirituality, the supervisor, as we alleged, said, there are going to be things that I'm going to ask you to do and not to do, and he was looking at it as a broader discussion of following orders from a supervisor. And so it didn't get to that.
Aren't we? My concern, I suppose, is that with some, you seem to be putting a great burden on some employees. This employee was a manager of some sorts, but you had someone who, with lesser education or lesser ability to articulate their spiritual beliefs. It sounds to me like you're asking an awful lot of them to go any further than that without even being invited to do so by the employer. Look, I've got a religious problem with going to meetings like this. The employer doesn't say, "This is the, well, I need such and such a kind of information to understand this better so I can reorder, so maybe we can work out a substitute, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera." It seems to me, at least your man was on notice at that point, that he had a problem.
Well, we admitted for purposes of our motion that he said it, but we denied it in response to their cross motion that he ever even mentioned his.
Sure. Well, of course, we've got that procedural posture to deal with.
Right.
Well, but wait, she doesn't want a trial. So she doesn't want a trial, just wants summary judgment. So I'm unclear what facts we're supposed to assume. Do you have any idea?
Yeah, for purposes of our motion, you were supposed to assume the plaintiff's version, which is he
said. Yes, but for purposes of her motion, we're supposed to assume your. So
right.
We have a situation where both parties want us to decide the case on the summary judgment record.
Right.
What do we take to be the fact?
Well, we attacked that there was a prima facie case in the first place because of the failure to identify the religion. In response to her motion, we say we did have a legitimate non-discriminatory reason for termination, which is, presents a genuine dispute of fact on the termination decision. We say we fired for insubordination. So her motion cannot prevail because it goes to the, it assumes a prima facie case, but then you look at the reason for the decision to discharge. There's a fact dispute.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Quick.
Thank you.
Ms. Hines, how much time does she have? 1 minute?
I think what we've seen here is that there are no magic words.
But what is your view of what we should assume the facts to be, since you're just asking for summary judgment, you don't want a trial?
Right. Regardless of what the parties say that final comment by Mr. Reed was, there is no dispute by Great Lakes that the subject of the conversation that Mr. Reed had with Mr. Teeth that led to his termination discussed his objected to attendance at the Gideon ceremony.
It doesn't matter which version of that final discussion is true. Is that what you're saying?
That's my position. If you disagree and find that he needed to have made that comment on his spirituality, then the only course is to reverse and remand for a trial. My point about the magic words is only that this is precisely why the Supreme Court has instructed that courts are to largely stay out of religious issues and not make an employee define in particular what religion he is or what his beliefs are, because then we get into the business of the courts deciding what is a proper religion and what isn't for the purposes of Title VII, which is not what the courts are supposed to be deciding in a case like this.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Party. Next case for